Red Eye is a program of alternative politics and culture which broadcasts live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM and around the world at cooperadio.org. Here is Mordecai Breenberg.
The bookstores have numerous titles with the theme of the making of the American Empire. Walden Bellow's latest book has the reverse theme. It is titled Dilemmas of Domination and subtitled The Unmaking of the American Empire. Walden Bellow has been one of the leading intellectual activists in the anti-globalization battles for more than a decade, prominent figure in mobilizations against APEC, the WTO, and IMF, at World Social Forums, and at international gatherings of the anti-war movement. We reached Walden Bellow at his home in the Philippines. He's preparing for a North American speaking tour that also will bring him to Vancouver on March 18th to speak at a forum organized by StopWar.ca. It's well past midnight in the Philippines, so thank you very much, Walden, for being available at this late hour.
Oh, happy to be. I'm about ready to leave, so I'm packing. So
okay. You just returned to the Philippines from a speaking tour of Italy, and that tour coincided with George Bush's trip to woo back Europe. How does Bush's European trip reflect the unmaking of the American Empire?
Well, I think despite the hoopla and, the sort of triumphalism that accompanied the tour, actually it was a tour undertaken out of desperation because they're caught in a quagmire in Iraq. The number of countries in the so-called coalition of the willing has been steadily been whittling down. And while the European countries have talked about giving support to training police and that sort of thing, all that is very minimal. And so the U.S. really, its main objective was to try to get the Europe on board. On its bandwagon in Iraq, and it didn't succeed in that. So, I think that this is the hope was that they could in fact get the Europeans to give them the legitimacy that they needed in Iraq, but they have not been able to do that.
Your book, Dilemmas of Domination, that's just come out, analyzes three crises facing the U.S. empire. One's, as you identified, an economic crisis of overproduction, a political crisis of overextension, and a crisis of legitimacy. Could you sketch just briefly for us how you see that economic crisis first?
It's variously called overproduction, overaccumulation, overcapacity, but basically, I think it's been a constant problem over the last two decades, a crisis of profitability that has, among other things, resulted in tremendous installed capacity in both the U.S. and in the global capitalist structure as a whole, and it is what is called a contradiction between tremendous productive capacity and limited purchasing capacity globally, which is a major problem, especially when you have so much new productive capacity coming on stream, particularly in China and in East Asia. So I think what we face is really a global capitalist system centered by the U.S. that is prone to stagnation and thereby prone to crisis, which we've seen over the last 10 years, especially the downturns as well as the collapse of the stock market and the increasing reliance on financial speculation. And recurrent financial crisis. So, I would say that these are all manifestations of a crisis of overproduction, if you can call it that, right?
You also talk about a political crisis of overextension, and I'm curious as to why and how the U.S. has become overextended.
Well, I think that this has always been a matter of big debate within the political and military elites in the United States. You know, despite the fact that the U.S. has tremendous military power, nevertheless, I think that what really counts there is the ability to deploy ground troops. And what the U.S. has found has been an increasing difficulties in terms of being able to put and keep people on the ground. And as we've seen, for instance, in Iraq, they've got about 135,000 troops, whereas just to be able to fight the guerrillas to a standstill, you need about 200,000 to about 1 million troops. The capacity for the U.S. to intervene in other areas than in Iraq at this point is quite limited. Certainly it can threaten, as it has, but I think even the Bush people at this point, and this is the reason for the big trip to Europe, realize that they can't hack it by themselves. They need allies, and those allies are now far and few, few and far between. So, but it's always been, ever since the Reagan period, a major dilemma that's been haunting U.S. policy, and especially since now they've realized that the ability to gather and put substantial troops in the ground, they're very limited when it comes to that capacity. As we all know at this point, about 40% of the troops in Baghdad, in Iraq, are National Guard units that are really what you would call part-time soldiers in the United States. So they're at this point really scraping the barrel, as you call it, and if other crises for them emerge, I don't think they'll be able to respond in the same way that they sent and deployed troops in Iraq. So I guess the image that I use there is that yes, the U.S. with its conventional and nuclear firepower has a sledgehammer, but having a sledgehammer doesn't kill a fly. It can't kill a fly, and that's what the sort of military structure that the U.S. has at this point, in the face of what will be more and more insurgencies against the empire in the Third World.
What you list as a and discuss as a third crisis facing the U.S. empire is the crisis of legitimacy. What does that mean, and how important is it?
Well, political systems and empires never, have stood on force alone. In fact, much more important has been the perception of legitimacy that this structures of domination are seen by those that it rules as enjoying, enjoying legitimacy, and that's gone for the United States in much of the developing world in the South, the different crises that and interventions that the United States has pushed, the support for repressive regimes a couple of years ago, and the militarist project of the Bush administration that has really really made it very difficult, even for allies of the United States within the elites of this country. For instance, take Latin America. Jorge Castañeda, the former foreign minister of Mexico, said that the Iraq War plus neoliberalism has made Latin America so anti-American at this point that people like him, who are allies of the United States, now have to tailor their rhetoric to become anti-American. And the other thing that I think we really need to also stress here is the U.S. Has always had this problem that because of its own rhetoric as a democracy had to go through the process of trying to forge democracies in its image in developing countries. It couldn't rule like an old-style European colonial power. And yet, it has also subverted this formal democracies that it has set up. And so there's hypocrisy there. Plus, also in the especially in the last 2 decades, the United States is no longer sort of a model for democracy and for civil liberties. I think with the Bush administration and the Patriot Act and the the complexities of the American electoral process that in 2000 made a minority candidate, a minority, one who gathered the votes of the minority, the President of the United States, that has eroded the perception that the U.S. is any sort of model country.
Now, the United States faces capitalist competitors in Europe, in Japan. We have China as a rising challenge to U.S. domination of the world. Do you think that the elites in these countries, in Europe, in China, and Japan, are developing their own strategies based on an analysis similar to your own, that the United States is an empire in decline?
Yes, I think there is a sense that the U.S. is overextended. If there's anybody that's benefited from the last few years of the Bush presidency, it's been China, because it's avoided any sort of entanglements abroad, focused on economic growth, and is set to overtake the United States, I believe, as the biggest economy by the first half of the 21st century. I mean, by 2050, yes. In Europe, I think there is also the sense that the U.S. has, that U.S. aggressiveness has become a threat to European security. And that perception is beginning to hold more and more. And so I think you have a situation whereby, although the United States remains the supreme power at this point, nevertheless, it's the Atlantic Alliance is dead, and Bush has helped to kill a relationship that was already troubled before Bush. And of course, the rise of China in East Asia is going to mean a major geopolitical shift in that area. And in places like Latin America and other places, you have increasing anti-neoliberal governments and anti-Americanism and progressive people like Chavez coming to power. So, you have a shift happening. It's not going to be a drastic sort of cataclysmic shift, but nevertheless, I think it's fairly clear that this shift is happening and the trend is away from the United States rather than on its way, on its side.
As a last question, I'd like to look at this situation of the unmaking of the American empire from the point of view of anti-war organizing. How do you think this unmaking of the U.S. empire helps us to identify vulnerable points against which we can target our campaigns?
Well, I think that first of all, I think that we should realize that what we're up against, while very powerful, nevertheless has feet of clay, one. Two is that it would be very important to do work even, you know, with the forces in Iraq at this point. And some American groups are doing that, in which GIs and their families are beginning to speak out. And I believe that there have been more and more instances of deserters coming to Canada. So I think the low morale of the U.S. Army, in particular, in Iraq, is really a point of vulnerability. As we remember, if you remember, the U.S. Army fell apart internally at the end of the Vietnam War, precisely because of tremendous demoralization of troops being part of an unpopular war. So I think the U.S. Military itself has points of vulnerability. And of course, I think the governments in Europe must be seen as at least in some areas, as forces that can be isolated from the United States. Mainly through our working with the anti-war movements in these countries, we can, in fact, appeal to the own security interests of many of these governments to move away from the United States. And then, of course, there is the Arab world, and I think that there's tremendous potential for linkages between the anti-war movement globally and the civil society in the Arab world, and we've been working on that, trying to get that together through meetings and conferences, and of course the U.S. Tries to make that very difficult by labeling Arab civil society groups as terrorists or whatever, and so it's the forces of opposition are there and growing, and the challenge is how do we articulate all these different forces and coordinate and step up our work across borders. So that's the big challenge at this point.
Well, thank you very much, Walden. I look forward to hearing your talk at the Stop War Forum here in Vancouver, and best wishes for your trip across the North American continent.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. I've been speaking with Walden Bellow. He's an intellectual activist in the anti-globalization and anti-war movements. His latest book, Dilemmas of Domination, The Unmaking of the American Empire, will be available on March 18th when Walden Bellow is in Vancouver. He'll be speaking at a forum at 7:30 p.m. on that day at St. Andrew Wesley's Church, which is the corner of Burrard and Nelson. He'll also be speaking at the anti-war demonstration the next day, March 19th, and that starts at 11:30 at Peace Flame Park, the south end of Burrard Street Bridge, and marches to Sunset Beach for a 1:30 rally.
You've been listening to Red Eye, a program produced by an alternative media collective in Vancouver, Canada. Red Eye broadcasts live every Saturday morning from 9 until noon and can be heard around the world at cooperadio.org.